Well, it's good to see all of you here. I guess I could take my sunglasses off, get another swig of water. I work up a sweat singing and playing the keyboard. It's good to see you here today, and it's July afternoon, and working our way through the summer here. And if you remember, if you've been being here when Vicki and I come over once a month, we've been working our way through 1 Peter. We've been in chapter 1 for a long while, and today we're going to move on into chapter 2. Oh, let me say first of all what Vicki already said. It is so good to have these girls here. Do y'all recognize Charity? Her mom is Crystal, you know. She works here. And this is Sarah. Sarah is one of our wonderful granddaughters from Texas, and she's here visiting with us for a few days from Texas. So we're glad to have both these girls in here singing with us and being with us. It's kind of fun. Anyway, one reason that little kids, these included, of course, but all little kids need parents is because left to their own devices, little kids will make lots of really, really bad decisions. You know that. Those decisions could eventually lead to sickness, or harm, or a ruined life, or even death. Little kids, if they're left on their own to make decisions, they're going to make some bad decisions. And so parents have to be very busy carefully explaining the difference between good decisions and bad decisions and guiding our kids to make good decisions, to learn how to make good decisions. And sometimes that means disciplining the kids. Sometimes it means saying no very sternly to kids and helping them learn to make good decisions. That's part of being a parent, of course. And one of the most obvious areas that this happens is in the area of eating and food. And you know, if you turn a kid loose and say, just eat whatever you want, unless that child already has a well-trained appetite, and some of them do, you know what they're going to choose, don't you? They're going to choose soft drinks, yeah, sweets, candy, cookies, cakes, pies, ice cream, donuts, and all that good stuff, right? Yeah, we all like that stuff. And they would just eat that stuff and not eat anything else if we gave them a chance. Some of them would. And what would be the result? Well, ultimately the results would be bad. The immediate result might just be a hyper kid. You know, a kid with too much sugar gets really hyper. And maybe after that initial burst of energy that day, they might be a sugar crash. You know what I mean? There might be a crash where they kind of hit bottom after so much sugar. But in the long run, there would be a really horrible difference. It wouldn't be funny anymore. You know, kids who don't eat a healthy diet will eventually become noticeably weaker. And that happens to kids. And they'll add, for example, a lot of unhealthy fat to their bodies, and they won't have a normal amount of healthy bone and muscle mass. You know, they'll be weak. Their immune system may get compromised so that every little bacteria or virus that comes along, their body can't resist it. Their body can't handle it. So that they will get sick more easily. You know what I'm saying? And you may finally start seeing it in their eyes. Their eyes will look weak and sickly. And eventually, as they store too much body fat, they'll start struggling with things like heart disease and diabetes and maybe even die younger than they really should have. So parents know better than to just let their kids choose whatever they want to eat. They know they can't do that. They've got to train those kids to eat healthy food. That's just part of it. Well, just like every other family issue, almost everything you can look at in family relationships, whether it's parent, child, or husband and wife, there's a very strong biblical basis for it, and there's a very strong biblical lesson, a spiritual lesson to be learned from it. And I want to read now 1 Peter chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 23 of chapter 1. Last time I was here, we looked at these verses earlier, but I want to read them one more time because I think they all go together in a unit here. Since you have been born again, you may remember we talked about that before, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. All right, now that's what we did last time. You may remember that if you were here. Now verse 1 of chapter 2. So, in other words, because of what he just said, therefore, so, put away all malice, and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, put that stuff away. And verse 2 is where we're going to focus. Like newborn babes, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of God's Word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so, Father, as we meditate on this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would help us to absorb your truth. Help us to be able to get past distractions in our own minds and get focused on your truth and to learn what you want us to learn today about the importance of feeding on your word and having a healthy appetite. So please, Lord, be our teacher and help me to share this in an effective way and help us all to tune into you and listen well and learn and grow to be more like Jesus. We pray in his mighty name. Amen. All right. Now, in verse 3, the Greek word is translated if in the translation I just read to you. It could be translated since. And he's saying, since you have been born again. That was back in verse 23, the first verse I read. Since you've tasted the goodness and grace of the Lord. Those of us who are his kids, we've tasted that. That's in verse 3. And since you're like newborn babies, that's what he says in verse 2. He said, because of all that, you need to have a healthy appetite. You need to have a healthy appetite. And he's not talking about physical things here. He's talking about spiritual things. And when he reminds them of the fact that they've tasted the goodness of the Lord, you remember I read that a few minutes ago? He's telling, I want you to remember how it first tasted, how it felt, how you acted when you first got excited about Jesus. Now, a lot of these people became Christians as adults, these people that Peter's writing to. Some of you may have become Christians as adults. If you happen to become a Christian as an adult, it'll be easier for you to identify with what he's saying here because it'll be easy to remember what an enormous change it was, what an enormous change Christ made in your life. And he's saying, you remember how good he tasted when you first came to know him? Do you remember? Do you remember how good it was? Do you remember how excited you were when you first realized your sins had been forgiven? Do you remember that, he's saying? Do you remember how good it was when you first realized, I have eternal life now. I'm going to live forever because of Jesus. Do you remember how that felt, he says? Do you remember how it felt when you realized, hey, I've got a purpose in life now. I know why I'm here. There's meaning to my life. There's significance here. And you got excited about it. You kind of had a new zest for Jesus there. And maybe even some of you who were saved when you were young, there came a time later in your life where you developed that excitement, that zest, that thrill about knowing Jesus and being with Jesus. And when that happened, you developed a hunger for God's Word. You had an appetite. You wanted God's Word. In fact, you probably couldn't get enough of it. You just wanted to read it. You wanted to meditate on it. You wanted to study it and think about it. And he's saying, listen, believers, I want you to not forget that. I want you to remember those times when you really, really were excited about Jesus. And why? Because he wants them to have a healthy spiritual appetite. Just as there's a danger that these little kids I was talking about earlier might develop an appetite only for junk food, sugar, empty calories, unhealthy foods, and lose their appetite for healthy stuff like meat and vegetables and fruits, there's a danger that Christians will lose their appetite too for good spiritual food. And we'll start filling our minds with stuff that's kind of the equivalent of junk food. Now, that's easy to do these days, but it can be really disastrous. So he says in verse 2, I want you to long, to hunger for, to long, to yearn for the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Now, if I stopped right now and said, let's brainstorm a little while. Let's think about some list of things that could possibly dull our appetites for God's Word. You'd think of some things pretty quickly. And they're not necessarily sinful now. Don't misunderstand me here. They're not necessarily sinful in and of themselves. It's the unbalance that's the problem. So, for example, it isn't a sin to watch TV. It's not a sin at all. I watch TV. It's not a sin to play sports or play games. That can be fun. It's not a sin to pass time doing crosswords or playing cards or something like that, or to read an entertaining novel. I read novels. My wife and I read novels. Or it's not a sin to listen to our favorite music. It's not a sin to hang out with friends that we love, you know, people we like to be with. All those things can be healthy and good. In fact, all those things can help us grow stronger in the Lord. The problem comes when we let those things become so important to us that suddenly that's all the appetite we have is for those things, and God's Word that would bring about some spiritual growth, we're ignoring. That's where we get unbalanced. And that's a problem, and our appetite can get dulled. In other words, these things can take the place of serious Bible study. And there are a lot of people who just feel like, I know it's important to study the Bible, but I am so busy, and I am so tired, and I've got so much to do. I don't have any time left for Bible study. And so we're not running Bible studies. We're not running cross-references. We're not doing word studies. We're not memorizing any verses. We're not using the Bible to direct our prayers to God or to direct our praise and worship of God. We're just kind of letting it slide. That's not good. That's unhealthy. We've lost our good appetite. Now, there are things worse than these things, of course. TV, sports, games, novels, music, those are good things. They just get unbalanced. But in verse 1, he mentioned some things. He said, you can't get moderate with this stuff. You've got to just put it away. And he mentioned malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. In other words, he's saying these things will mess up your appetite for sure. And you can't just say, well, I need to do that in moderation. No, no, no. Just get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. So what's he mean when he says malice? Well, malice is when you want something bad to happen to somebody else. That's malice. Instead of wishing the best for them, you're wishing something bad. You wish they'd get hurt or something. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking things like, I just want somebody to put them in their place. I want them to get cut down to size. You know, that kind of stuff. And sometimes it may have to do with politics, you know. It'll be somebody in another political party, or sometimes it's a person in a position of authority, or sometimes it's a person that we feel like has hurt us in the past. We want to get cut down. Now, listen, let's be careful here. I want to be balanced. Don't misunderstand. It's good to pray for justice to be done. Justice is from God. God's the author of justice. And He's also the ultimate judge, by the way, not us. He gets to make those judgments, not us. But God's happy when we pray for justice. But when justice is done, it ought to bring us a certain amount of grief. Do you realize that? Because we're looking at someone who is now facing justice and judgment, that if they had just repented, if they'd just gotten it right, that things might have been different. And so our prayer even then is we're grieving for people who may have hurt us, who may have done some bad stuff, but we're grieving for them, praying, oh God, let them see the light, let them wake up, let them repent. And so even in the midst of justice, we don't want to have malice. You can have justice without malice. But malice can certainly take away our appetite for God. We got to get rid of it. Then he mentions deceit or guile. What happens to a lot of people is they get in the habit of telling half-truths, deceiving other people, misleading other people. Maybe it's just to make ourselves look good. God says that's going to mess up your spiritual appetite. Be careful. Then he mentioned hypocrisy. And we know what hypocrisy is. It's related to that guile. But that's when we kind of live our lives as if we're on a stage acting. And our true self never comes out. We never reveal who we really are. And we try to cover it up by pretense. And a lot of times there are people who, if you look at them on the outside, it looks like they're a good Christian person, but inwardly they know they're not walking with the Lord. That's hypocrisy. And hypocrisy will dull our appetites, our spiritual appetite. He mentions envy. Envy, such an ugly sin, and so common. This happens when we have not learned to be content. God wants us to be content with what we have. God has basically said, look, guys, you've got me. You've got the God of the universe. I am yours now and forever, and you're not going to lose me. So why on earth would you envy somebody else of something else when you've got me, the God of the universe? That's what he's saying to us. And some people around there, outside our lives, we may know, they may have power, and we wish we had it. They may have prestige or money or health. You know, even good health. We can envy that in other people. Or influence or attention. And they got stuff maybe that we don't have. But why would we envy that when we've got God? That's what he's saying. What's your God anyway? You know, is it God, the real God, or is it something else? So, if my attitude is, well, yeah, I know I've got God because I'm trusting Jesus, but what I really want is health. What I really want is a little more money. What I really want is to be able to influence more people. What I really want is a little more attention for myself. I got a serious problem, guys. We got a serious problem if that's our attitude, because we don't really know who God is. We don't. We're thinking we can use God to get something we want. And we're showing that God Himself is just not enough for us. And that's a problem. And this is where genuine worship and praise can come in. Some of you may have heard me talk about putting on the belt of truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about putting on the armor of God, and when I put on the belt of truth, part of the truth that I put on every time I do that is to say, Father, I want to remind myself of the truth about you. And then I start listing characteristics of God and to Him. God, you're loving and you're gracious and you're kind and you're merciful and you're wise beyond my ability to understand. Your wisdom is perfect. You know what's best for me and everybody I love and everybody in the world. You know what's best. And you are almighty and all powerful. You can do anything. You created the universe just by speaking the words. There's nothing too hard for you. And you're patient with us. And you're the just judge. And on you can go listing the characteristics of God. And when we do that, all that stuff about even good health or money or other stuff, that can kind of fade to the background. All of a sudden, it's not quite as critical because we know we've got a God who knows what we need and when we need it and how to do it. You know, we just learn to trust Him. God isn't God just so He can give us other stuff that we want. That's a false gospel. God Himself is enough. And when we get to the point where we desire Him because of who He is and want Him, not because He can give me some stuff, if that's the only reason we're trying to serve God, when we don't get the stuff we really want, we'll get mad at God. We'll get messed up. So watch out for the envy because it'll mess up our spiritual appetite. And finally, here in verse 1, he mentions slander. And that's running people down with our mouths. What happens is when we're full of malice and envy in our hearts, it spills out in the form of slander. Ugly stuff comes out. And again, it's going to mess up our appetite. God says, put this stuff away. Get rid of it. It's going to keep you from hungering for my word. It's going to make you spiritually sick and anemic. Do you know what doctors say is the perfect food for little babies when they're first born? You know what the perfect food for babies is? You know what it is? It's mama's milk. Yep. Mama's milk. Because God engineered that. God created that situation, and He knew exactly what little babies would need. He knew what mamas would need. He knew how to put it all together. Verse 2, he says, for us, the perfect spiritual food for us is His Word. That's what we feed on. But if you take a little baby away from its mother and don't let it have its mother's milk, you know what's going to be happening in a few hours? He's going to be screaming. Yeah. He's going to be screaming. He's going to be crying out, I want my milk. He won't be able to say the words, but you know what he means. He knows he needs that milk. And if something happens to a baby and it loses its appetite, what happens? We get really concerned, don't we? Something's wrong. Something's wrong with my baby. And we take it to the doctor and say, doctor, something's wrong. My baby's not eating right. Something's wrong. My baby's sick. Well, in the same way, when we find ourselves losing our spiritual appetite for God's Word, we need to go to the doctor. He's the doctor. And we go to our doctor, our Father in heaven, and we say, Father, something's wrong. I'm not hungry for your word like I should be. There's something wrong with me. My appetite's not right. Help me examine myself. Help me to get my appetite back. Now let me give you just a couple of clues real quickly that have worked a lot for me. When I was a kid, my grandpa Payne used to talk to me when I didn't act like I was hungry. I was too busy to eat or something. I said, I'm not hungry. I don't have an appetite. He would say, try this. He said, sit down and start eating. He said, you may eat with a coming appetite. And he used that phrase, a coming appetite. A coming appetite. And what he meant was that when I sat down and started eating food, chances are I'd start realizing, ooh, this tastes pretty good. Ooh, I need this after all. And I'd start getting hungry and I'd eat more than I thought I could. So remember that coming appetite. Well, it's true when you do Bible study. There are times when I don't really feel hungry for God's Word, but if I'll just sit down and open up my Bible and start studying and reading and running a few cross references and doing a few word studies, I begin to eat with a coming appetite. And I think, this tastes pretty good. I'm pretty hungry for this after all, and I don't want to quit. I want to keep eating. I was hungrier than I realized. And then a second thing I want to urge you to consider, and I've already mentioned this, but don't ever underestimate the power of praise and worship, guys. Praise and worship is incredibly powerful. Now listen, I'm not just talking about listening to good Christian music. That's a good thing. You ought to do that. But that's not just what I'm talking about. That's healthy. But I'm talking about letting our minds dwell so much on God and who He is and what He's like, His attributes, His nature, His actions, that they become part of our being. They're inside us. So it's not like I'm hearing somebody else saying it and saying, yeah, I agree. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But a little bit farther, get it inside us so that we can say those words to God and we can praise. That's what praise is. It's just saying back to God the truth about what He is and who He is and what He's done. And so we begin to say it out of our hearts, not just listening to somebody else praise the Lord, but praising Him out of my own heart, letting the words come out of my own heart. And that will tend to generate a good, healthy spiritual appetite. Because the more you think about God, the more you kind of want to know Him and the more you want to spend time with Him. That's just the way it works. How much time do you think we spend each week eating physical food? I don't know. It'd be hard to guess. But several hours, right? I mean, we have to put it in the several hours category. We take time to eat. And if we're going to stay alive, we got to. If we're going to stay alive physically, we've got to eat. Just have to. There's no other choice. Several hours a week. Well, our spiritual food is much more significant. Because no matter how healthy you eat, no matter how good of meals you eat, no matter how good you eat vegetables and meat and all the rest, no matter how good you eat, there's coming a time when it won't work. These are physical bodies. They're not meant to last forever. They're wearing out. They're running down. And one of these days, I don't care how good you eat, we're going to lay them aside. We just don't have a choice about that. But spiritual food, God's Word, feeding us spiritually, strengthening us spiritually, making us strong in the inner man, that's for eternity. That's not just for a while. That's for eternity. So in light of eternity, I'm just pleading with you, learn to eat healthy. Let's all learn to eat healthy. So Father, thank you this morning or this afternoon for this time we've had to meditate on this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us all to be like newborn babes, hungering and thirsting for your Word and your truth, growing stronger in our inner man, getting your Word and your truth into our soul and spirit so that we can see you and understand you and love you more and more and praise you better and better and worship you better and better and share you with others better and better. And Lord, that we might little by little become so strong in our inner man that you can find us very useful to bring help to others when they're struggling with these kind of things. Lord, there are people all around us who are sick and hurting and struggling, and they need a word from your holy word to maybe encourage them, and they need to learn to do this too. So help us to know how to help others. But Lord, we thank you that you are preparing us for eternity, and as we feed on your word, as we nourish our spirit, our soul with your word, you are preparing us, and you're getting us ready for whatever you got next for us in eternity, and we want to be prepared. So thank you so much for the opportunity you give us to be in your word. Thank you for the singing. Thank you that we're going to get to sing again now. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, help us to sing from our hearts to you and to bring you glory. And I thank you so much for my wife, and I thank you for these precious girls being with us here today, and I pray your blessings on them, and use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.